Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good evening. It's great to be here tonight. We've got all of our favorite people on here, except our guest, but we're hoping he'll show up. Maybe something bad happened. We'll find out. But this is Dr. John Stane live from beautiful, sunny, and a little bit chilly Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I'm just so glad to be here. It's been a heck of an eventful week, and so it's good to calm down here on Hump Day and talk about the Von Erich family, one of the most famous families in all of wrestling history. But first of all, and I'm going to go down in the order everybody called in, because I don't normally do that. First of all, welcome to the Queen of Pop Culture Stars, the reigning queen, Granny Hulkster. How are you doing?
Well, Dr. John, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm doing well. I've been pretty busy, lots going on, but, you know, it's been okay, you know. Things are good. So, you know, weather's been a little crazy here in Arkansas off and on. Rain, cool weather, you know. So, you know, a lot of wind. I mean, so hopefully, you know, no bad storms will be coming up, but you know, I'm good. So I'm good.
We're glad, and we've got five more of our wonderful co-hosts to introduce, and then our guest who has arrived. So next, I will say hello to Tim. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
I am outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. Oh, wait, that's Todd.
Really?
But I've been called Todd before on the podcast, so I thought I would go ahead and steal this
one. You're in trouble now.
Hey, I've been called Todd before, so it's okay if I can use it. No, I'm doing great. Glad to be here. Sounds like we've got an awesome show, awesome guests lined up, and it should be a great time.
We have a great show, and we have a movie review and everything. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Exactly. So it's a little too chilly for me tonight on the porch, so I'm cozied up on the couch, and I still have my vodka and Diet Coke, and I'm ready to roll.
Okay, good. And I will say hello to our man in Charleston, the one, the only amazing Velvet. What a great friend he's been the last couple of weeks, helping out with a lot of projects they're working on. How you doing tonight, Velvet?
I'm good. I'm just a little saddened that I was dethroned by Granny Hulkster as the queen. I am so miserable now.
Well, just know that we still love all of you.
Velvet, it'll be okay. Trust me. It'll be all right. You'll get over it.
That's right.
That's okay. All that's right. Okay. I've just come to Arkansas and scratch your little eyes out. It's all good.
Well, that's okay, darling. You just come on down, you know. Come on over to Arkansas. We'll make room for you.
All right.
Now, the marvelously upstaged Todd Saxon, how are you doing tonight?
Upstaged.
Man, I am outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. That's how you do it, Tim. Now.
Okay. So, but that's great. We're always glad to have you. We really are. Let's see. And next, the old 548 number, Dave the Curmudgeon Atwell. How are you doing, Dave Atwell?
No, I'm doing well. You mentioned that it was chilly in Myrtle Beach. Well, it's freezing here in Jacksonville. I've been out here 5 minutes enjoying the company, and I think I've already lost one testicle of hypothermia, so I might be moving inside. And I made the conscious decision earlier to forego the cigar, so I might have to move my malt beverages indoors because I love the cold weather, but I don't think I'm quite ready for it right yet, at least when it's not freezing. So if you can hear that rattling sound in the back, those are my teeth banging together because it's colder than hell out here. So outside of that, I'm
okay. I thought that was. Well, never mind. Okay, we're just glad to have you. And so what I'll do is I'm going to skip over to the end of the show and say that toward the very end of the show,
I'm going to give a review of Lipstick and Dynamite, the First Ladies of Wrestling. It's a Ruth Lightman film. Finally saw it. I think I got the last copy that was available on eBay, and it's an incredible film. And I've already talked to the Queen of Wrestling, Susan Green, about it. I'll give you her take on it as we close up our show in about an hour and 20 minutes or whatever. But tonight, the man, the guest of honor, the author of the brand new book, Lance by Chance. All right, sir, sign in, state your name, and tell us what this book is about. Tell us, first of all, give us a primer on the Von Erichs, Mr. Vinny.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on your show. And I am really excited about this book. I know that everybody is just going to find some interest. There's a lot of people that there's a lot of things that have been said about Lance. There's a lot of fans, of very, very strong Von Erich fans that are, you know, are very guarded about what is going to be said. But I really think that people are going to be surprised with what's in the book. I've had a few people read the book already. They said they couldn't put it down, and they thought it was very respectful, and they were really surprised that, you know, that it was a book about his journey through his 10 years of wrestling.
All right, now I got my copy yesterday, and I've gone through one third of the book. It is definitely a book about wrestling, from the good to the bad to the ugly. And at least through the first third of the book, you did not mince any words, and you captured a lot of the stories coming from a guy that was with a wrestling group for 4 years and was the announcer. It's out there. I mean, this is the real thing. It's truth. It is like cinema verite, only it's a book. So, first of all, tell us just a little bit about the Von Erich family and their history to kind of bring everybody up to speed.
Sure.
And then we'll
sure.
start talking about the book. And by the way, tell everybody where you're from and who you are and what do you do, and then get into the Von Erichs. So we want to know
Absolutely.
Just a little bit about
sure.
you. You're a very – I met you actually on the Wrestling Tonight podcast, and, I mean, it's kind of cool. So, first of all, who is Vince Berry?
Well, I am – my real job, I'm a video photographer. I'm an editor. I work for a school district, but for 18 years I've worked in the news business, and then I transferred over to a school district, and I work in their media department. And so I'm in media. I love telling stories, and that's always been something that I've liked to do is I've always enjoyed writing. And for about 5 years I covered the boxing and the MMA scene down here in South Texas. And I don't know if it dried up or not, but it's not as strong as it was when I was here. There was maybe, I don't know, 6 events a year, maybe a little more in the surrounding areas. And there's, I don't hear much about it at all these days. But when that died down, I stopped writing about boxing and MMA and started writing about wrestling. You know, I just started my own website, and I started writing about veteran wrestlers and independent wrestlers, and that was how I came across of Lance Von Erich, you know, from my website. But my love for wrestling started, you know, when I was 14 years old, I guess, or maybe younger than that, but 12, 13, 14, something like that, and I lived up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and actually I lived about 10 miles from where the Von Erichs grew up. And I didn't know who they were when I first moved there, but it didn't take long for me to find out who these guys were. And these guys were local wrestlers, and their dad, Fritz Von Erich, had a promotion in downtown Dallas, and his boys were his basically his stars, you know, to the promotion. And boy, people loved those kids. And I mean, when I say loved, you know, the Von Erichs were a household name to the non-wrestling fan, you know, and it was pretty special deal to run into the Von Erichs. And, you know, I grew up watching them on TV for years, and, you know, I saw the Lance character come in, and I didn't question it too much, you know. I don't think a lot of people did. Of course, now today, a lot of people say, oh, I knew he wasn't a Von Erich from the very beginning. But, you know, if you go back and watch those videos, he gets mobbed just as much as the real Von Erichs did. And what they did is they were running so many shows and that you needed a Von Erich on the card every single night. And they were the hot commodity. And so, you know, the Von Erichs were the type of wrestlers, if they weren't on the card, then they lost money. And so they, I guess Fritz came up with an idea to maybe create another Von Erich and say that he was like a relative or a cousin, the son of Waldo, his fake brother in wrestling. And that's what they tried to do. And,
let's be fair. The Anderson brothers, there was only one Anderson, and that was Gene Anderson and his 19th cousin or something like that. Ole Anderson came along for the ride, and then came Lars Anderson, and we don't know who Lars is. He's some dude from Minnesota, big guy, great wrestler. And, I mean, so, you know, it happened down here in Jim Crockett Promotions, so let's not put Fritz on the hot seat with this. I think...
Well, no, I'm not putting him on the hot seat, but the problem is everybody gives Lance the problem, you know, gives him a hassle for him being a fake Von Erich, right? Well, it's been done in wrestling forever.
Well, frankly, they're all fake Von Erichs because Von Erich is not their name.
Absolutely.
It's not their name. What is their name?
Oh, it's Atkinson.
That's right. I mean, that's about as British as you can get. Come on, Von Erich. I mean, that sounds like something out of the Third Reich and Hitler. No, there's American and British as they come, and they're wonderful. They were wonderful. They did great things. They pleased a lot of folks. They were truly one of the dynasties. And I think this is important to say, and I don't know if you said this. I've only gone through the first 30 of your book. But did you say? Let's see, Johnny Mae Young. We all know who Johnny Mae Young was. She was truly the great Johnny Mae. She was Moolah's best friend, and she was one of the greatest wrestlers that ever lived. And she said, "I was busy watching Lipstick and Dynamite today. Everybody needs to get a copy of it, or we'll have an online watch party." She said, "You know what? Anybody can be a face. It's the heels that matter." And wouldn't you say that the Von Erichs are a little unusual in that they were, I mean, primarily they were a bunch of baby faces, weren't they?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think they wrestled heel in their career.
Not like the Andersons.
Fritz did, but the boys didn't.
Well, okay, yeah, Fritz did, and then he became a businessman. Then he has these four sons that are just really great-looking guys, very talented athletes. They just made a lot of people happy. And you know what? I'm glad they did, because the whole purpose. Now, I want everybody, if you disagree with me, say so now or forever hold your peace. The entire purpose of wrestling is to entertain the crowd and make them happy when they're walking out the door. Does anybody disagree? That's all it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's the quietest. I've never heard this group so
absolutely.
Quiet. I'm not always. Thank you, Granny. Thank you. Malcolm, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's...
yeah,
I only met two Von Erichs. I met Kevin and I met Lacey, but I have a lot of respect for the Von Erich family.
I do. I mean, they were nice. They did great things. They helped. They did charity work. They did all kinds of good stuff. And so anyway,
I even met Kevin Von Erich's son at the Call for Alley Club. I think his name was Scott. He was Scott.
How old was he?
Yeah.
Was he? Was he? Has he? at the time when you met him, which was what, probably a year or two ago, was he a,
well, what was
a trained
cool
wrestler?
About him, he put the claw, in my head when he was taking, when he was goofing around with me. So that was pretty cool. So yeah.
He put the claw on you?
Yeah, on my head. We took the picture.
Well, now, but now, Malcolm, I'll tell you this. That may be the second coolest thing that I have ever heard. But the coolest thing is when the Bloodseeker puts the Cobra Clutch on Dr. John the Announcer in a bingo parlor in Akron in front of 500 people. That is the coolest thing that ever happened. The second coolest thing being the first time they threw me in a coffin and they thought they'd really killed me. And I just got up in the dressing room and said, "Hey, how's everybody?" They were petrified because I knew I'd take a bump if you're going to listen. But anyway, okay, I love to tell that story. I know we all know me for it. But anyway, Vince, how in the heck did you meet Lance and talk him into doing this book? Because you know what? Right now, and everybody knows this, I'm in the middle of trying to write the First Lady of Professional Wrestling, Susan Tex Green. This is the hardest damn thing I've ever tried to do. Taking me a month to just start getting to the stories that are interesting. And it's going to take me another 6 months that I'm going to have to compress into about 4.5 to get to all the real stories. We're moving at warp speed. I mean, we're Scotty is saying, "Captain, we're about to destroy the ship going at warp 11. So, I mean, how did you convince Lance to do this, and how did you meet him?
So I was working on my website, and I was just interviewing some people that I wanted to write about, and I came across James Beard, and I was talking to him, and World Class came up, and we were talking about World Class, and I started I guess Lance came up, and I was just every time I thought about him, I always tell James, I said, "Man, what an interesting story that is." And we would talk about him for a little while, and we'd go into that. And then one time he just told me how to get in touch with him. And so I reached out to Lance, and he gave me his number, and I called him the next day, and we talked, and he was kind of taken back, you know. I told him at that time I just wanted to write, like, a story on my website, you know, and just kind of like a where are they now kind of piece, and he just, like, I don't know, he was just kind of a little apprehensive, like, you know, why is this guy calling me, and who is this guy, and, but you know what, he won my trust very quickly, you know, and we had talked, and we did the story, and there was a lot of stuff left on the table, and a lot of really, really good stuff, and I asked him, I said, "Has anybody ever approached you to do a book?" And he was like, "No," and I was like, "You might want to consider doing that," and he said something along the lines, "I don't have an interest in that." And so anyway, the article came out, and he read the article, and he really liked the article. And I said, "Look, if you ever decide to write a book, please come to me first." And he goes, "Write the book." So
awesome.
So there awesome. I was, you know, I had an opportunity to write my first book, and, you know, I'm sure there's other times in my life that I said I was going to write a book and never wrote a book. Because writing a book is hard. You know, you say that you're going at warp speed. It took me 3.5 years to get to this point, you know. And but I don't know exactly when it was, but there was a point where I knew it was happening. There, in the beginning, I was kind of questioning. I didn't know, you know. I mean, I had some material. I don't think I started really putting pen to paper for maybe 9 months, you know. And,
I know. I sit there in front of Susan Green with my notepad and my green flare, and I just jot down the title of the story. And I mean, I've got like 15 pages of stories that I've got to flesh out. And, I mean, I just wanted to ask you, how did you do, about the same way you just talked with him, you jotted names of stories down and then started filling them in. Is that probably how you did it?
Well, I had this idea of the timeline, before I started interviewing them. I had this, I kind of made a timeline, I was going to do a chapter on this and a chapter on that and a chapter on this and a chapter on that. And that book doesn't even exist. That's not what I wrote, I just started talking to him, and he was telling me all this stuff, and then it got to the point where I was like, I always felt like, okay, we're done. I'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and start writing now. And he goes, hey, did I ever tell you about the time I was in India on a train and it got bombed? I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, I was on a train that was bombed. And I was like, no, you never told me. He goes, yeah, I told you that story. I said, dude, I would have remembered if you told me about that. And so he told me about that whole entire tour, and we wrote a chapter on that, But that was, I always felt like, I was almost done, and then he would throw something else at me. And the book looks a lot different than what I really thought it was. But the book is, talks a little bit about how he started working out, how he was discovered by Fritz, how Fritz got him prepared to come to world class, his year and a half in world class, and then what happens after world class. And I think a lot of people would be really surprised that he had a 10-year career. A lot of people think he only wrestled for a year and a half, but he only wrestled for a year and a half at world class.
Right?
Well, no, it was probably about 2.5 years total in the United States, but the rest was overseas.
Right, and we have lots of friends that had careers that were overseas. Stevie Ray, the Wild Thing, had a lot of his career over in Europe and in the continent of Africa. Papa Stroh had a bunch of his career down in Puerto Rico and Mexico. It's just amazing. Now, let's do this, because you and I have talked a good bit about just you and what happened. Give us the thumbnail. Give us the 3 to 4 minute version of the book. I don't think that's going to keep anybody from buying the book, because I already said this right before you came on. I said, this is a good, good book. It's got a lot of great stories in it already. Just I wanted to make sure I'd read a third of it so I'd have an idea. And it's really good. So I just want to say that I give this a 3 thumbs up, because I'm actually an honorary member of the Adams family.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I'm pleased with how the book came out. I have a passage in the front book by Kevin Von Erich. I have a passage by David Manning, the promoter or the booker and referee of World Class, who saw Lance for the first time. His name was Kevin Von, but of course now he goes by Lance because he wrestled with the name of Lance for 10 years, and people just call him Lance now. But it has a passage by Dusty Wolf as well. And it's 25 chapters long, and I just got done talking to somebody who read the book, and I was really pleased when he told me this. He says, you could pick that book up and go to any chapter, and it reads like a short story. But you can read the book all the way through, and it fits. And I really am pleased by that, because that was really what I wanted to do. If you read one of these chapters and that was all you read, I wanted you to feel satisfied, like you got something out of it. You got a good story. And the thing is the book does fit in some kind of chronological order, and it does go, but there's parts of his life, his acting career. There's, you know, like I said, there's a chapter on the Indian train bombings. You know, I'll just go through some of these the chapters in the table of contents, if you don't mind. But, you know, he talks about being discovered and meeting Fritz and going to Portland, you know, and learning how to wrestle up there. There's chapters with, you know, he had friendships with Billy Jack Haynes and Steve Simpson, Gino Hernandez and Chris Adams, Rick Flair. All those guys have chapters with their name on it in this book, you know, and he talks about his interaction with these guys, you know. And that's what I, you know, the book covers probably, you know, it starts out with the Freebird-Von Erich feud, because if it wasn't for the Freebird-Von Erich feud and David Von Erich didn't die, we probably wouldn't be talking about David or Lance Von Erich. But that was the thing, going back to what I was saying earlier, you know, you needed a Von Erich on the card, you know, and Fritz came up with this idea. And that's, you know, that's again, you know, the, we call them hardcore Von Erich fans, we call them the Von Erich Nation, right? For whatever reason, they find it very offensive that Lance was a Von Erich, and they want to erase him from the legacy of the Von Erichs, you know. But, you know, when you brought up the Andersons, they've been doing that in wrestling forever. Jimmy Jack Funk was Jesse Barr, you know.
Yeah.
And so why, you know, the big mystery to Lance, and, you know, because, look, they love Lance. If there's fans out there today say, oh, we knew he wasn't a Von Erich all along, that's not true. You know, now he does say in the book that as soon as Fritz outed him on TV, the temperature in the state of Texas sure did change. And he wasn't treated very nice at all. So, you know, that might be one of the reasons he was just ready for a change, or, you know, I think he went to do some traveling and ended up liking some of the places that he traveled, and he ended up staying.
Didn't he end up, is he still in South Africa?
He's between countries. There's about three different countries that he lives in throughout the year.
Does he still have the same wife? Because I haven't gotten that far. Did he had Candy, the first wife?
He does not.
Okay.
He does not.
All right. And let's see, that left a little bit of a secret out. But anyway, I'd like to invite our panelists to start asking you some questions about the book, and if you don't mind answering them, because, as I said, it's great. Right now, I'm entering the part of my life that I'm doing an amazing amount of wrestling history, and I love it. I've never been this happy, learning so much about this sport that we love. So who wants to go first and ask Vinny a question? Somebody needs to.
I would.
I'd like to.
All right, but we'll go with Granny, and then we'll go with Malcolm.
Well, first of all, I am Granny Hulkster. My real name is Lori Burt, but I have a gimmick name of Granny Hulkster because I love wrestling. I'm a huge fan. I don't like the heels much. As a matter of fact, I don't like the heels at all. I like to talk smack to the heels. But I can't wait to get this book. I mean, because I was a big Von Erich fan. I mean, I loved the Von Erichs back in the day. I think probably Kerry was probably my favorite Von Erich out of all of them, but I loved them all. But I found it interesting that you mentioned James Beard, you know, and I'm thinking that James Beard is, you know, the James Beard that I know, the referee James Beard. But is that right?
Yeah, the same guy.
Okay.
I
am personal friends with James Beard. As a matter of fact, I bought his book that he wrote, his book, The Third Man. And I mean, I've read that book 4 times since I've had it. I mean, because it was such a great book, and I can't wait till he writes his next one. But James Beard is a personal friend of mine. So, I mean, I just can't wait to get a hold of this book. Now, I was kind of reading a little bit about Lance Von Erich, you know, before the show and everything, just kind of doing a little bit of research and everything. Now, Kerry was not real happy about, I mean, he was pretty adamant about not wanting him to be recognized as a Von Erich. Is that true?
Well, I've heard a couple things. Now, Kevin, for sure. Kevin was really against it. On Kerry, you know, I've heard some things that, you know, I think Kevin said that the whole family was against it. But of all the Von Erichs, Lance got along with Kerry the best. Matter of fact, they were pretty close. And they, you know, him and the wives got along. And, you know, the four of them would, like, you know, couples night or, you know, maybe dinner or hang out with each other. You know, they got along. But as far as, you know, Kevin, and Kevin writes something, he writes a foreword in the book, you could pretty much see where his stance is. So if Kerry was against it, then he never acted out or treated Lance with nothing but respect. But if you ever met Kerry, he was a really, really likable guy, and he would, you know, make you feel good just by saying hello to you.
I never got to meet any of the Von Erichs, but like I said, I just was always a big fan. I mean, I've watched wrestling for years. I mean, I love the sport, I love the business, and I love I have met so many big time name people throughout the years of watching wrestling that it's just it's been amazing. I mean, I would have loved to gotten to meet, you know, any of the Von Erichs, because like I said, I was such a big fan of theirs throughout the years, watching them wrestle all the time. But like I said, I'm going to have to get this book because it sounds absolutely amazing, and I can't wait to read it.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Vince, I've got two requests. One,
okay,
before we go to Malcolm, since this word from Kevin is really short, would you allow me to read this, probably about 120 words, aloud to everybody?
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Now, from Lance by Chance. And it says, my brothers and I have been trying to change the wrestling to our style. Kids loved it, and our TV ratings went through the roof. We were really good in the ring, and we were careful with our image. Lance was David Manning's and my dad's idea. I especially was dead set against it, as we have never lied to our fans. I know how reporters can be. I knew it would come back to us. Lance looked good, but that was it. He was like a mashed potato sandwich. No pizzazz. I've never heard of a mashed potato sandwich, Vince.
Well,
but, okay. And then I've got one comment and one helpful hint.
Okay.
Get in there to Lance's Wikipedia site and update it. Oh my goodness, because you're going to have people crawling all over it and talk
about
the
book. Yeah, well,
that
thing's so out of date. And I mean, you know, if you're doing research and you, you know, stay away from Wikipedia. I mean, seriously.
Wikipedia can be very vicious. I mean,
it can be very vicious.
Use it as a reference,
don't use it as a source.
Lots of people
going to listen to it. Okay, yes, Todd.
I don't when I'm doing research on somebody, I kind of try to stay away from Wikipedia because I don't like it. I don't like some of the things they say about the people because, you know, especially if it's somebody that I'm familiar with, you know, it can be wicked. It can be very vicious.
Again,
I'm just saying people go to it.
One of the points I'm going to go to is watching a sports talk show decade plus ago, and one of the guys on the show pointed out that Wikipedia had his middle name incorrect. So that's just kind of an example. I mean, you really can't trust that. So just reinforcing the, yeah, I don't think so, portion of that.
Hey, Todd.
Yep, Bert.
Yeah, Malcolm.
I was just seeing a bloody Todd and didn't know he was on here. So.
Hey, Malcolm. All right, now, well, I'll tell you what, since I had a little bit of the floor, let me go tangential. All right, heard Vinny talking about Texas. And you mentioned, like, pretty diverse area. First, you started, you referenced Southern Texas, South Texas, and
yes.
Then you referenced you were the DFW area.
Yes.
I know a little bit about the different areas. My brother lived in Irving up until a week ago.
Okay.
Since like 76. So I've done some visits there and stuff like that. And I worked out of Houston for a number of years and our with 1st Battalion, 23rd Marines. So we had stuff like down in Corpus and Harlingen, and we had stuff over in Austin. Of course, we had some stuff in Shreveport, Louisiana as well. But yeah, I'll tell you one thing about a great part of the country down there. Just a lot of stuff going on. And I do miss... Man, I do miss the food from down there. Just saying, dude.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. So, Malcolm, did you have a question for me?
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about the book. See, I have met a lot of wrestlers, a lot of unusual situations when I've met them, buying a copy of their book in person. And even though, you know, I never got to meet Kerry Von Erich, I had a talk with Roddy Piper once. And Roddy, I met him 14 different times. And one time I met him, I told Roddy Piper, he said, some of the wrestlers that I've liked, you know, back in his days, I said, Mr. Perfect, the Macho Man. And then I mentioned the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich, he was in world-class championship wrestling. I said, Rod, I used to watch him on ESPN when you guys were in the WWF, you know, and I think it'd be really cool, you know, if I ever meet Lance Von Erich. Is he still around? I'm just asking.
Yeah, he's, you know what, I think the book is the closest we're going to get to Lance.
Okay.
Von
well,
Erich.
He's
still alive, but he's not around.
I think if I meet, you know, if I get a copy of this book, so I'm going to get one as soon as I can, I'm going to take it to the pay-per-view in Daytona Beach. I'm going to have all the wrestlers I meet that day sign it, ladies, men. You know, I'm going to take it to the Call for Alley Club with me. I have a collection of books, you know, from Piper, Hogan, Tony Atlas signed one for me, Pat Patterson. If I see Pat or Baron Von Raschke or, you know, Cowboy Bob Orton or Sergeant Slaughter, I'm gonna take that book and ask them to sign that book just out of respect for the Von Erich family. Like I said, I met Kevin and I met Lacey and I met Kevin's son, Scott. I think it's Scott. Is it Scott or am I wrong? I mean,
Ross and Marshall.
Russ? Where'd I get Scott from? I don't know.
Yeah, Ross and Marshall.
I'm sorry, Vince. but I'm going to take the book, and he's supposed to have a meet and greet next year sometime. The manager of the beach shop where he's at in Florida, Hulk Hogan. I think it'd be really honorable to get Hulk Hogan to sign this somehow because Hulk, we were talking, and Hulk said, you know, one of the best wrestlers in the 90s was the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich. And I met the Ultimate Warrior, and the Ultimate Warrior told me Kerry Von Erich. I believe, if I'm right, you know, it's been so long, but wasn't it the 1990 Survivor Series? I forget who the opponents were, but wasn't it the Ultimate Warrior, the Texas Tornado, and the Legion of Doom on the same team? I'm just asking because, you know,
I don't know. I my memory doesn't even.
That's all right.
Pull that one up.
Me and Gene told me the second time I met him, he said, He goes, you remember everything. And I said, I can't remember everything. I just remember as much as I can. But I think it'd be a great tribute to get Hulk to sign this book, even though Kerry's not around anymore. You know, David's not around anymore. I think Hulk would be really honored to sign this book because the Von Erich family is one of the greatest professional wrestling, what do you call those things when there's four or more? The WWE had a DVD on it. There's a special name for a group of four or more. They're talking about the Four Horsemen, and the Von Erichs were mentioned on this. And I just think the Von Erichs, watching them on ESPN during the day back in the 80s, and I loved Gino Hernandez and Chris Adams when they took on the Von Erichs. I mean, that was just that's like vintage wrestling. And I want to copy this book. That's all I can say, Vince. I want to copy this book, you know, so. And get as many wrestlers as I can to sign it as a tribute to the Von Erich family. That's what I want to do, so.
Well, Vince, to get this book, can't you go to lancebychance.com?
That is correct. Yep. And it's on there. There's a signed version, and there is a regular version for 1995. And, you know, as of right now, the signed version, because he is out of the country, I am waiting for – he could not sign the books because he's out of the country and we couldn't ship books. So he is sending me some labels. And if you have ordered a signed book from me and have not received it yet, that is why. But they are being shipped from overseas, so –
Yeah,
they're coming.
Vince, could I, if I buy a copy that's signed, I know he can't put it on there. Could you write on there too, Malcolm? Because I'd really like that, you know.
I will.
Just have you do it.
I will do that for you, Malcolm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And when
sir.
I'm at the pay-per-view, Vince, I'm going to promote your book when I'm there December 19th in Daytona Beach. I'm gonna hold your book around. If I get on video camera somehow, I'm going to hold your book up. That's what I'm going to do. I think that would be the best honorable thing I could do at that pay-per-view for the entire Von Erich family. So that's what I'm going to do. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? There really hasn't been a book like this that comes out, you know, that has come out on world class. I think people are going to be really surprised when they read this book. You know, they're going to read about David Von Erich, and they're going to read about his untimely death, and they're going to read about how the NWA wanted to put the world title on him, and they're going to read about how wrestling worked back then, and how when Kerry Von Erich won the world title. You know, a lot of people thought that was the greatest thing. Oh, Kerry won the world title. But you got to remember, the Von Erichs were so popular. If you take a Von Erich out of the mix, you're taking money away from Fritz's operation, you know, from his machine. And so, you know, on the outside, it looked awesome, right? Oh, wow, Kerry's the champion. You know, he's from Texas. But, you know, in wrestling, it was about the bottom line, you know. And so it really wasn't the greatest thing for the promotion itself, you know, and you're going to see that. And you're going to read a story about when they go to Israel and how popular they were in that country. And they were in that country because Lebanon picked up world-class championship wrestling because it aired on the Christian Broadcasting Network in Dallas. And so,
whoa,
you know, there's all these little things that, you know, are in the book when a lot of people think, oh, you know, because I've gotten this since I've been trying to promote the book. Well, I'm not going to read it because it's about Lance. Well, you know, be open because it is, you know, it's a story from Lance's perspective. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, this book is about, you know, There's a little bit of Portland in this book, you know. He talks about Bobby Jaggers up there. He talks about Billy Jack Haynes, and he talks about Jerry Gray and Sandy Barr and Don Owen and Barry Owen and, you know, guys like that, Kendo Nakazaki, you know. And then you come down to World Class, and there's, like I said, there's a chapter on Gino Hernandez and Chris Adams, Mike Von Erich, Gary Von Erich. You know, and I think a lot of people are going to, you know, I'll share a story with you from the book. When Mike Von Erich committed suicide, and they had his funeral, Lance wasn't planning to go to the funeral because he didn't know Mike very well. They worked together, but they had like a working relationship. It was like, you know, you go to work, I go to work, and we work, and we go home, and yeah, we got the job done. You know, they weren't real close. Like I said, him and Kerry were the ones who had the friendship, but Mike was quiet, and yeah, just did his own thing. So he wasn't planning to go to the funeral, and someone from the office told him that the day before that, you know, you need to go to the funeral. So he shows up to the funeral. He's met by one of Fritz's workers, and they escort him back to the private viewing room where the family is, you know, mourning and grieving with Mike's casket open and, you know, before the service. And he was taken back in there, and he talks about how uncomfortable it was for him. And how he didn't feel like he needed to be in such a private setting, you know, and how he felt like Fritz was still practicing kayfabe. And, you know, he talks about that. Hey, look, this is real life, you know. And so this is a guy that, you know, didn't grow up in wrestling, never watched wrestling, didn't really know anything about it. And how is he supposed to know what, you know? I mean, I guess if you grew up in a wrestling family, you know what kayfabe is, or you understand some of the lingo. And this guy knew nothing. He couldn't understand why he was at Mike's funeral. He thought it was very uncomfortable for him, you know, to be with a family that he didn't belong to, and he felt like Fritz was carrying on this charade, and it was a time that he didn't think it needed to be carried. He didn't think the gimmick needed to be carried on during that time. So, you know, there's stories like that. I found that very interesting. And you know, he has some words with Doris. Doris was Fritz's wife, and you know, he talks very kindly of her. He liked Doris a lot, and so, you know, there's a lot of things in the book where I think a lot of people are going to be surprised, and I think a lot of people may think that he's using this opportunity to, you know, smear the Von Erichs, and he does not. You know, the book is told in a very tasteful manner. Yeah, I mean, there's some hard truth in the book, but, you know, there's some hard stories that took place in that. You know, there's a lot of things happened, you know, a lot of people died. But, you know, the story's told in good taste, and again, I think people are going to be really surprised when they read this book.
Well, it just sounds like to me, from the way you were explaining everything, that he was the bigger person. Lance was the bigger person, you know, because, like I said, Kevin was so against him being considered as a Von Erich, but Lance was truly just, to me, the bigger man, you know, and just being respectful to the Von Erich family.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people don't like the way that he left. You'll see how he left. And, you know, there's you know, it's a relationship where there's, you know, there's always more than one person in a relationship, right? You know, Lance even said
yep.
that there was some things that he could have done better, you know, and he even says, you know, looking back now, I could have handled it differently. I should have done this. And so I think it's, you know, someone read the final chapter of the book, and they said it was very honest and humble. I think Lance did a really good job with being vulnerable. You know, somebody else told me that he let it all hang out, you know, and I think he just really, he was honest in this book. He was very honest in this book. He was respectful in this book. You know, yeah, you may see some parts in the book that, yeah, he might still be a little miffed, you know, a little miffed about a couple things, but for the most part, I think you're really going to hear it from him. You know, everyone says, oh, I know the story. Well, you know the Von Erich story. I mean, we've been hearing that side of the story for 35 years, and everybody has their idea. And it's so funny, if you go on Facebook and you say something, anything about Lance, and people are so quick to correct you with a misconception because they don't know the story. And I think people are going to have the opportunity to read the story, and I think they're going to be really surprised about it. Get the duct tape and put it around your socks.
Well, I'm just excited about getting to read the book. It sounds, like I said, amazing. I love books like this, and I just can't wait to get a copy. I can't wait to get my hands on a copy to read it. So,
well, I can't wait for you to get your hands on a copy either.
Because Granny Hulkster is a very big wrestling fan. Like I said, I love this business, and I love going to wrestling shows, and I love interacting with the wrestlers. I mean, I've interacted with a lot of big name professional wrestlers over the years, and I love doing what I do as a fan. So,
I love wrestling too, and that was why I really felt like this was the book for me to write. You know, and I'm very, very glad that I was able to write it.
You mentioned that he's overseas, and you know, there's little chance of anyone really contacting him right now. Is he purposely trying to? Does he want to lay low? Like, are there any kind of hard feelings or bitterness or anything, or is it just kind of the way he is?
It's kind of the way he is. He was so far removed from the wrestling business. He even told me, he goes, even when he was starting to talk to me about it, he would, you know, we'd be talking about something and he'd say, you know, let me try to think about this some more. You know, why don't we talk about this? You know, he said, I haven't thought about this stuff in 30 years, you know, and he's, you know, sometimes he would have to get back, you know, like, hey, I got to get back with you. And so he's just, like I said, it's not that he's like trying to lay low, but he
just ordered for 20.
Like, he just doesn't really have
about the Von Erich family.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the interest, you know, to. Yeah, I guess you could say he's laying low, but he's just, like I said, he's just so far detached from it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I get it. Because that's, you know, and that's an easy, I can see myself being in a position where, you know, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. If you're over there, you know, it's like, I'm just going to do my own thing. But so that makes sense. I just wasn't sure if it was a really on purpose, like trying to do what he could to be off the grid.
Well, no, it was like every time I've talked to him and I've said this to him several times, and I'll say, you know what? I can't believe you wrote this book with me. And he always replies, me neither. And you know why? I don't know why he said yes, but I'm glad he did. But, yeah, I mean, had I maybe caught him on a different day, maybe he would have said no.
Right.
But I think people are going to be really, really, you know, I just talked to three people who read it because nobody's read it. I got the books last week, and I'm in process of sending some out. So three people told me that they read it in one day.
Wow.
They said, and they said they couldn't put it down.
Well, I read a third of it in one day. Come on.
I'm just hoping that you got a. He said something about him wrestling Ric Flair in that book.
There's a chapter of Ric Flair in that book.
Good. Because there's not a lot of people say they can go with him toe to toe, all the way bell to bell. So. There's not very few that can say that, and Lance did that. So I hope that's a good story.
Yeah, he talks about his interaction with Ric Flair, and he talks about how he met him and the conversation that he had with him before his first world title match. And so,
right.
I think you'll enjoy that.
Good. See, I didn't want to give anything away. I didn't want to ask. I didn't want to know that that's in there.
I'm going to read something for you. Can I read something from the book, John?
Absolutely.
I'm gonna read a passage from chapter 10, Ric Flair, and this is the second time that he met Ric Flair. To give you a little backstory, he met Ric Flair one time in Portland, and he 6 months later, he was in Dallas, and he's about to wrestle Ric Flair for the world title. And so this is where it picks up. The next time that I saw Ric was on October 28th, 1985, when I was working for Fritz, and I had already taken on the Lance Von Erich gimmick. Incredibly, I had wrestled Ric twice in my career. Ironically, the first time I wrestled Ric was for the title. The second time we wrestled was in the main event, but the title wasn't on the line for that particular match. In addition to wrestling him twice, I was on several cards with him throughout my career. Ric's memory was incredible because when we talked before our first match in Fort Worth, Texas, he remembered me from the time that we wrestled on the same card in Portland. You were in a tag team match with Bobby Jaggers, and Bobby Jaggers was your partner. You two wrestled Timothy Flowers and Chris Colt, Ric recalled. That's pretty good. I'm impressed you remembered who I wrestled, I replied. So how long have you been here? It hasn't been long at all, I answered. How do you like it so far, he inquired. I like it. Fritz brought me in as a Von Erich. I'm wrestling as their cousin Lance, I explained. Wow, that sounds like a weird situation, he commented. Why do you say that, Ric, I asked. I think they threw you in the deep end of the pool. You might be in way over your head, he cautioned. I'm going to make the best of it, I assured. You're going to find out what Kevin and Kerry are really like, he warned. What do you mean? I questioned. Get ready to work, he advised. I was told a story which occurred before I started working in Dallas and before David Von Erich passed away. Fritz had grown tired of a lot of his wrestlers showing up late to his events, so he decided to implement strict rules. The first time a wrestler was late, he got his ass chewed out. The second time, he was fined $100. The third time, he was terminated. The result ended with Kevin, David, and Kerry being the first wrestlers fired because they were the ones who violated their father's rules. Since the Fritz's boys couldn't adhere to his request, the guidelines never stuck, and they were soon forgotten.
Wow. That's interesting. I like that.
And there's there's something else in here too. I think if I can find it rather quickly. And there you go. Rick's job was to make his opponents look good, and he did that every night. People in the business said Rick could make a broomstick look good. I believed it. Rick brought the best out in his opponents. Along with his reputation of being an outstanding wrestler, Rick also had a reputation of enjoying the nightlife. Story after story centered on how much alcohol the Nature Boy could consume. One time I wrestled, we wrestled in Louisiana on the same card together. After the show, several of the wrestlers wanted to go out for a few drinks. We ended up at the bar of the hotel where we were staying. I was done drinking by midnight, and I went back to my room to go to sleep. On my way out, I said goodnight to Rick, who was still drinking and not ready to leave. The next morning, I was told Rick drank inside the bar until the sun came up. I wasn't too surprised when I heard how late Rick stayed there at the bar. But I was a bit shocked when I went to the hotel's gym for a workout. Surprisingly, Rick was already in there working out at 9 in the morning. "Good morning, Lance. How are you today?" he asked. "I'm good. And you?" I returned. "I'm doing well. It's going to be a good day," he answered. "It's good to see you, Rick," I said. "It's good to see you, too," he replied. I don't know how he maintains such a rigorous work schedule with such intensity of the nightlife. He truly was amazing. And when I was active in my wrestling career, the magazines were popular among the fans as well. And then he goes into a magazine that he was on the cover with Ric Flair on. But,
cool.
You know, that those are stories that he shares throughout.
Nice.
I'm going to make a comment. The answers to those questions about how can Ric Flair do it, he was the greatest wrestler, and he was a true world champion. And that's the answer. There's no other
and
answer.
And the greatest partier.
And it just came, right, Velvet? But it just came from inside him. It's like, you know, when I start looking at these lady wrestlers, and I begin to see that it was Johnny Mae Young and Susan Green that were the greatest, and maybe Ella Waldeck. And even a couple of those names people really don't know much about. But it's something that comes from within them. And before I ask David Atwell, because he has been there very quietly sipping on a PBR, Vince, I'm going to send you a recipe. I'm going to send you a holiday recipe for a mashed potato sandwich that will knock your damn socks off.
Sounds good, because I'm working on a creation of myself, too, and I'm hoping to put that on my website.
Well, I'll send you the Thanksgiving and the Christmas one, and then I got to work on the Easter one and the 4th of July. Absolutely, because I am a chef. I've owned a restaurant before, and I cannot. So would you put my recipe, after you try it, would you put it on your site?
Well, yeah, but I think what the secret is, though, is you have to kind of sear the mashed potato patty before you put it in the bread.
Oh, no, I'm going to be boiling a lot of stuff, and then I'm going to be sautéing a lot of stuff, and I'm going to build it like a multi-layer. It's going to be like a lasagna thing with mashed potatoes.
Are
it's
we on
going chop? To be incredible. What'd you say, Velvet? How dare you? How dare you talk about my culinary expertise?
You're
just be quiet.
Goodbye.
Be quiet if you're going to yell about how I cook. I cook great. Why in the hell do you think I weigh 200 pounds?
Oh my God.
I'm working on that now. I'm working on that. All right, now Dave Atwell, Velvet. I'm gonna yell at you next time I see you, Dave Atwell.
Okay.
Talk to this man.
Yeah, I've been having a blast listening to the whole thing because unfortunately when, you know, you look at wrestling history, the Von Erich family, I mean, it's a lot of tragedy. It's not as fun as reading Ric Flair stories because, you know, Rick, he's the best by all means. But then
he thinks you have a hot wife, Dave, and you know it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he said she was a woo, so that I must be going somewhere. As a matter of fact, I celebrated my 25th anniversary, 22 married, 25 together yesterday with the same woman that he called a woo. So,
congrats.
Yay.
Damn, man.
And you have our sympathy.
I saw all the sympathy cards in the mail, and, you know, with our deepest condolences. It's, you know what the scary thing is we've been together for 25 years. I turned 50 in May, and I started doing the math. I says, holy Jesus, I've been with the same person for 25, freaking half of my life now. It's kind of funny how that caught up. But nevertheless, when you start going into the Von Erich history, man, there's so much tragedy and everything. It's and truth be told, I didn't even know that Kerry had lost his foot. It's probably about 4 or 5 years ago that I was reading, and that his boot had a prosthetic foot in his boot, and his ability to get around in the ring that he did. I mean, the guy was athletic as hell.
Absolutely.
But David was the guy who really had the pure raw wrestling talent. And, when the dope and everything, you know, caught up in the stress of, being on the road as it is and everything. You read the stories behind it and how these guys with so much athleticism and talent and everything, how they kind of just, you would like to see a better finish for gentlemen like that, you know, but at one time I had heard that they were making a Von Erich biopic. And, I'm sure Lance, and it's unfortunate too, you were speaking on kayfabe earlier, you know, it's unfortunate. I could see it in 1975, but in 2020, 2010, 2020, the last 10 years, there's got to be a way where people are able to set things aside. I mean, it's disheartening to know that Lance carried the name and worked his ass off the way he did, and still was always kind of getting the stepchild treatment. It's very unfortunate that they're not able to set that aside, because it's not always about blood. It's about the amount of dedication, the amount of, what you do for the name. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, he's out there doing all he can to keep the name right, and yet he was never really given a fair shake and that whole thing. But nevertheless, when it comes down to the movie, have you heard anything at all? I mean, is he going to be involved in it remotely? Or
I don't believe he is going to be involved in it. And then I briefly heard I saw something on Facebook that it's like temporarily halted, so I don't really know much about it. I heard something about it last, like springtime, before the COVID got really bad, and then that was about, That was about all I heard from then, heard about that. I mean, so I don't suspect he's going to be included.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You know what I mean? Because it's in wrestling, the funny thing about wrestling is that he's not the first guy to have names thrown around. You know, John hit earlier about the Andersons, and there are specific names: the Hart, the Malenkos, and all those. That if you put them in a lineup, you could just look at them and say, okay, I'm not going to speculate, but I think the UPS might have had something to do with him. You know, because they don't look like the rest of them, but it's, It's funny, the mailman used to always stop at the house. You know, they always got their mail first for some reason. But, yeah, a lot of those wrestling families, and I'll throw a little finger quotes, the Dr. Evil finger quotes around that. It's just when somebody's allowed to become part of the name, there's a dual responsibility. There's a responsibility for the individual to hold up the name because it is a brand. Let's face it. It's just like, you know, it's kind of like what Frank Lucas said, you know, American Gangster. You know, it's like Pepsi. It's a brand. But on the flip side, there's also a responsibility and ownership of the family to accept these guys in. And, you know, you go back to Ric Flair with the Four Horsemen and everything. We all know it started, you know, with Arn, Tully, and you know, J.J. Dillon and all those guys and everything. And, you know, before you know it, they're filtering Wyndham in there. They're filtering, you know, Sting in there. And when it come to a time where they were having to put Paul Roman in there, that had to have been a tough day.
Oh, no. The worst one was I'll take Pretty Paul Roma over what's his name from the Chicago Bears any day of the week.
Steve Mongo McMichael.
Yes, yeah, the guy who walked like he had a hot dog shoved up his ass and he's scared he's going to spill the chili. Yeah.
He was a horrible wrestler. That's why they put him at commentating booths. I'd take Pretty Paul. I'd take Lex Luger over over him too. And Lex Luger was a horrible wrestler.
I can't stand Luger still to this day. And you know, anyway, with the stuff with Miss Elizabeth, for a guy who's actually met Miss Elizabeth, I mean, you know, talk about just a wonderful lady, just a very gracious and.
She had a part to play in it too, brother, because she left her husband to go hang out with him. So, you know, you can't fault him 100%.
And
I've got to interject one thing. You talk about gracious and lovely on camera. That's exactly how
you describe the
fabulous Moolah.
No, Amazing Velvet. I'm sorry.
Hey, Dr. John, Velvet's still upset because you introduced me to the queen of wrestling here, you know, and I guess still upset about that.
Well, hey, he'll yell at me tomorrow. I don't care. He'll yell at me, and I'm going to yell at Vinny tomorrow about my vision for the mashed potato sandwich.
Well, Vinny, just so you know, I just placed my order for that book.
Okay. Did you have any issues placing the order?
No, not really. I picked, you know, even though, you know, you said the autograph copy would be like the label, you know, inside the book with his autograph on. That's fine because, you know, I like to have the autograph copy, so I didn't have really any issues with ordering it, so I hope the order came through. It said thank you for your order, and so I mean, if you wanna do like, you know, write, you know, to Granny, you know, Hulkster, that's fine, or to Granny, that's fine, you know, fine if you wanna do that, that's fine. But I just wanted to let you know I did place an order for that book, so.
Okay, I see an order at 907. So. Are you? Yeah, 369 is your order.
I mean,
I did it too.
All right, Laurie, right?
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
My real name is Laurie Burt, Laurie. So.
I got you. Thank you very much, Laurie.
I just ordered it too, Vince.
All right.
Hey, Vinny.
Yes.
I want to wish you luck on challenging Dr. Bobby Flay later.
Yes. And you know what? I will say this very boldly. I am going to win.
Well, yeah.
Because,
no,
yeah,
I would like to see. I love to watch, you know, Bobby Flay, you know, on TV. You know, beat Bobby Flay.
Be
I love to watch
John,
that show.
Man.
I would love to see you beat him, Benny. I really would.
Well, I didn't start thinking about this 10 minutes ago.
Well, that's okay. You got to start somewhere.
No,
Bobby needs to be beat, so you'd be the great person to do it, you know?
I was going to sell the mashed potato sandwich recipe online for $1, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I like this guy, man.
It'll be more like Chef Foster Brooks, I'm just saying.
Oh, my Lord.
Except we got to have the bourbon.
Hey, that's
don't
my
Don't be complaining
John.
About what I'm drinking now. Come
right.
on.
I ain't nobody complaining about what you're drinking.
Oh, granddad,
just you got there.
$19.99 a half a gallon now.
You got to drink if you're in the writing business. I know that.
And they called me from the liquor store and said, it's on sale, John. You better bring $100. Okay. That's right. But anyway, yeah. You know, I've got to say that, Vince, a large part of the excitement and what we've uncovered tonight in your interview comes from the fact that you wrote a great book and you had a great subject. You really did.
Absolutely.
And I hope I can only hope that in April when the first lady of professional wrestling, Susan Tex Green, comes out, that I can get somewhere close to what you've done, because you've done a great job. You're a real expert on Lance Von Erich. And I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm gonna say I want you back.
Well,
on
thank
Pop Culture
you.
Stars
you.
Here in
what
about
is,
two
what
months.
Is his last name?
You know, I wanted if I could. What was the gentleman's name that brought up the fact that he just recently found out that Carrie's foot was amputated? Who was that? Was that
well,
Todd?
That was me, Dave.
Up with. Dave.
Todd
yeah,
Jackson.
I'm going to read something for you, Dave.
Oh, hit me.
This is from chapter 15, Carrie Von Erich. When Carrie came back to wrestling, it was at the Sportatorium, and only a couple months after his accident. Before he was supposed to wrestle in his match, Carrie was upstairs. He was in the upstairs private viewing area watching the opening matches. When it was his time... when it was time for him to go to the ring, he ran down the stairs, and when he did, his leg snapped again. As much as he wanted to get back to wrestling, it was apparent that he wasn't going to return for a while. When his leg suffered more damage, the doctors couldn't save it this time. There was no other choice but to amputate his right foot. According to David Manning, when it came time for Carrie's foot amputation, 11 doctors and nurses were in the room to perform the surgery. The medical staff scheduled to operate that day had been sworn to secrecy about the condition and details of Carrie's operation. Surprisingly, Carrie's amputation did stay a secret for a while. He was out of action for a long time. While he was recovering, Carrie did in-ring play-by-play with the other commentators for the television recordings. I don't think Carrie started wrestling again until the later part of 1987, and by that time, I had already left Dallas.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's just the... And the interesting thing about Carrie is that Carrie had, like, the total package. He had the looks, he had the physique, because all the other Von Erich brothers were kind of, like, just skinny. They didn't have a whole lot of build to them. But Carrie had the whole... He had the physique, he had the look, he had the long curly hair. I mean, he had everything going for him. And when he went to the WWF, unfortunately, the WWF has a bad habit of turning people into characters. instead of letting. And that's where, when, you know, when Ric Flair and Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard and those guys went, and Dusty Rhodes, another one that went to the WWF, they were their own character. They weren't, you'll say, Undertaker or a Hulk Hogan or something like, you know, because when Hulk Hogan was AWA, he was his own man. It was when he got to the WWF is when everything kind of became, you know, with the yellow and gold and the whole nine yards. You know, same with Randy Savage and everything. You know, Brutus Beefcake is another one that comes to mind, that they kind of they became a character of themselves, whereas Rick was Ric Flair. Arn Anderson was Arn Anderson. And, you know, when Kerry Von Erich got there, he had everything that it would take to hold that title. He had the looks, he had the athleticism, he had the ability, he had a physique. But the fact that he was Kerry Von Erich wrestling in a WWF, he wasn't a character. And, you know, when he got in there, there was a certain amount of excitement going, hey, look, you know, we got a Von Erich here in the, at the big dance. Let's see what this guy does. And he disappeared all of a sudden. And this is all pre-internet stuff where we never knew what was going on. And, you know, a lot of us was like, what the hell happened? And he came back, you know, doing the Texas Tornado thing, which was still kind of a gimmick. But it never seemed to catch on, and I always wondered why. And next thing you know, we find out, you know, that he was no longer with us, you know, which was very unfortunate. But, yeah, it was only up until a couple of years ago that I had found out that he was in that bad accident and has actually lost a foot. And I'm thinking to myself, Jesus Christ, it's all I can do to walk with what God gave me, much less go wrestle without one, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, kudos to that guy, man. He's another one I missed.
Oh, yeah, for him to do what he did after that, that says a lot of his, you know, about his athleticism.
Yeah.
Well, of how much of an athlete he was. But yeah, you know what?
It's harder to say when you've been drinking Pabst all night, but I was pulling
absolutely
it off pretty good.
Hey,
laughing that was so Foster Brooks-like.
David Manning. David Manning thought that he, had he talked about it more, and had he talked about his amputation, and had he shared it publicly, he really thought that he could help people in a very positive way, overcoming their difficulties with that issue. So, you know, he chose to handle it the way that he did, but boy, what an athlete he was with it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was a beast. So just out of curiosity, you did self-publish this book, right?
I did.
Ah, genius work. I've been on both sides of it, and I'm telling you, it's funny whenever people ask me about my book. Oh, man, so have you been, like, published? And I was like, yep, been published by a publishing company, been self-published by myself, and by Christ, if I got anything to do with it, everything I do from this point forward would be self-published.
Absolutely. I don't know if I'd go any other way.
Yeah. I mean, traditional publishing, I mean, the quagmire, it is ridiculous. So, yeah, there's my two cents on the publishing business.
All right, Dave. Thank you. Well, we have 6 minutes left, and everybody has 45 seconds to say goodbye, good night, a Wiedersehen to you. Don't go over your time, or the British lady is going to yell at you. So I'm going to do it in reverse order from when everybody got on. So the last person that got on was Vince Baker, our guest. Vince Barry, a good friend, Vince Baker. All right, Vince, what you got to say in 45 seconds?
go out and get yourself a copy of the book. I know you're going to love it, and you can get it at lancebychance.com. And I, like I said, I know you're going to enjoy it. There's a lot of great stories in it, and I think it's going to surpass your expectations.
It will. It surpassed mine. Thank you very much. Malcolm, what's your 45 seconds of fame?
Well, Vince, I want to tell you that I saw the Texas tornado in 1991, and I grew up on comic books when I was a kid, and these guys were like real-life superheroes to me, and when Kerry was the Texas tornado, I just was yelling like you wouldn't believe at the Arco Arena back in 91. I just couldn't sit down. And I just loved every wrestler I'd met, and there's no more to say than that. I respect every wrestler. I don't care what they're – I told the Terry Taylor I liked the Red Rooster. A lot of people didn't. He didn't like it, but I did. You know, a lot of people said they didn't like Lex Luger. I like Lex Luger. You know, I could – a lot of people could argue with me, but, you know, I would just say to Todd, did you see that episode of Green Acres where they went to Washington?
No, Lord.
I was with MacArthur in the Pacific.
Hey, I'll use that as a segue and try to make up for the time difference here. Congratulations on a quarter century, Dave and Dale.
Much thanks.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Todd. And Tim, what have you got to say for yourself?
I just want to say thank you, Vince. It's been awesome having you on there to describe this, and I'm sure I'm going to give this book a good read. And I'll say, Todd, I promise that's the only time I'll ever steal your intro. I've been waiting for that opportunity to be introduced first, and that's the last time I'll do it. So that'll
fire. What a liar.
That was outstanding supernatural.
That's all for me.
That's exactly right. All right, the amazing one from Charleston. What have you got to say in 45 seconds?
I'm definitely going to get a copy of this book. I just need somebody to do my book now, and I'll be happy.
You can read mine when I get it.
Dude, I live yours with you, okay? I've seen the book. I've been in the movie, and I got the daggum T-shirt to go with it, okay? Good Lord. Don't make me read something of you, okay?
Danny Hulkster, what have you got to say?
Well, Vince, it was a pleasure to get to talk to you, sir, and I can't wait to get my book. I can't wait to read it. And if you happen to talk to James Beard in the near future, please tell him Granny Hulkster and David and Anthony from Springdale, Arkansas sends their hellos.
I will.
And Dave, happy anniversary to you and your lovely bride. May you have wonderful years. And, you know, everybody just be safe and be good to each other, and God bless everybody.
Thank you, Granny. Thank you
very much. And let's see. So we talked to Granny. We had Todd, you can have another 30 seconds.
No, hey, you know how I am. Right there. Big hugs, everyone. Big hugs. Hey, check out the Lance by Chance website. It is really good. Just go look at it. You'll want to buy the book.
Yeah, man.
Well, thank you very much for saying that, because I've gotten a lot of grief over the website, too.
Wow.
I need to hang out with you guys more often.
Hey, you put velvet on that website, you'll gain a lot more sales.
Right.
And you know, and Vince, if anybody gives you any more grief, Granny Hulkster may have to come put them in a headlock for you. I will be your number one supporting fan here, and I will do my best to take good care of you and protect you and not let people be so mean to you.
That sounds good.
Because James Beard knows Granny well enough. James has seen Granny in action when traditional championship wrestling used to run in Arkansas. So he knows what Granny can do, and he knows what Granny can say. He knows what Granny can say.
All right. And since I have 20 seconds left, I'm going to say thanks to everybody for being with us on Pop Culture Stars. We'll be back 9 p.m. Eastern time next Wednesday night right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we've got a lot of great announcements coming up. So stay with us. Hang out. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Hey, good night.